You all had plans that you made for yourself, and yet some of them didn't come through. They didn't fall out the way that you thought they would. I think this is a reminder that God's plan is far better than we could ever dream up for ourselves. And we so often think, I know exactly what I want to do. I know where my life is going to be. I have laid out my plan for my future. And yet God has a way of coming in and reminding you, I could actually have something better for you than you could dream. Right? That's a Bible verse. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. It hasn't even entered into your imagination the good things that God can do for those who wait for him. He's quoting Isaiah 64:4. The point is, you can't even dream of the good things that God holds for you. And if you have the faith to believe that, I promise you, you'll find satisfaction in him that you never expected to find. So know that God has better things for you, all of you. And of course, I'm going to say these things to these folks sitting here on the front row. This applies to all of us. So the good things that we think we have planned, God can do far better. The second thing I would say to you is, if you look at verse 1 at the very end, it talks about drawing near. And it says that the sacrifices could never perfect those who draw near. Question is, draw near to what? Draw near to God. The collegiate years, this season of your life, as well as for any of us, is an invitation to draw near to the Lord. And you can do that in a very unique way. Some of you said you prayed for, Christine, I think you said you prayed for a community of Christians that you could get plugged into. I would encourage you, let that be the first thing that you do. Whenever you get on campus, when you arrive, go and find a community of Christians to get plugged into, whether it's InterVarsity or Campus Crusade or whatever. Find a community of believers to get plugged in that will help you draw near to God. And let these years be a season of drawing nearer, because you will either go away to school and draw nearer to the Lord, or you will run far from him. And there are many of us in this room who would tell you, if you choose the latter, if you choose to run far from him, you will only carry yourself into misery and frustration and agony and regret. And we would spare you of that. I'm just wondering, can you testify to that? Anybody in this room? If you can, raise your hand. It's better to follow the Lord than not. Look around. All of you, look around. You're sitting on the front row. If you're headed away to school, look back. You go and chat with someone. If you think I'm making this up, go and chat with someone. But let this be a season of drawing nearer to the Lord than you ever have in your life. And you need to make up your mind, first of all, to do it straight away. Another thing I would say is the reminder of verse 4 is, it says the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. I think this is just a reminder that religious ritual cannot take away your sins. Your sins can only be removed from a living relationship with the living Christ. Rituals only point to realities. They're not the realities themselves. And so engage with a living faith, with a living Savior who loves you and has given himself and offered himself willingly as a sacrifice to remove your sins, which is part of what the next section of verses point to. Jesus, if you look at verse 5, it says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, Michaela, I'm so glad you encouraged everyone to read scripture. I didn't pay her to say that, by the way, in case you're wondering. Verse 5, read it with me again. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, who said? Who's the one doing the saying here? It's Jesus. Do you know the verses that are next quoted are Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8? The psalmist understands those words that were written by David to be the very words of Jesus. David was a prophet. He spoke being moved by the Spirit of God. I echo what Michaela said. When you read your Bible, and I plead with everybody in this room, not just you on the front row, read it every day and read it expecting to hear the voice of Jesus. This is not a dead book. It is living and active, and it will discern your heart and your motives. So read God's word, because there is a way in which the voice of Jesus, he was around long before this world even began. He is the eternal Son of God. So when you read scripture, you're reading the voice of God spoken through his Spirit and through his Son. And so when you read God's word, pick it up expecting for Jesus to speak to you. And I promise you, he will. Right, Christine? He will direct your paths. That's true, not just when we're in high school, but every day of our lives. So read God's word in that way. So Jesus speaks through his word. And then again, what did Jesus come to do? This passage says he came to do the will of God. Jesus came to perfectly obey. In other words, he came to do what we could never do. He came to be obedient under every occasion, in every situation throughout his whole life. So our faith needs to rest in his perfect doing, but then also his Spirit poured within us gives us the ability to obey the Lord and to do what we cannot do by ourselves. So Jesus came to perfectly do the will of God. Why? Because obedience is far more pleasing than disobedience. A perfect obedience is much more pleasing to God the Father than perfectly saying, "I'm sorry for disobeying." Every parent would much rather have consistent obedience than a child who knows how to repent, say the right things, and say, "I'm sorry for everything that I haven't done well." But yet Jesus came to be perfectly obedient. So let your faith rest in him and his provision to not only give you the righteousness that you don't have, but provide the ability for you to obey. And then also, I look at verse 10. "And by the will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all." What this is saying is that it is God's will that you be sanctified. And being sanctified means that you're being perfected practically in how you live your life. You're being made holy. Why does God want you to be holy? He wants his children to be holy so that we can enjoy his company. He wants sin to be removed from our lives so that we can enjoy fellowship with him. That's God's desire for each of you as you begin to embark on your own, making your faith your own without mom and dad having to tell you what to do or when to do it. Jesus wants you to be holy so that you can enjoy fellowship with God. And he wants it so badly that he was willing to give up his own life in order to achieve it. Verse 14. "For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Or another way of saying this is, for by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are not yet perfect. Being sanctified means that you're in a process of being made more and more like Jesus. And yet God's word says, in Christ, you have already been perfected. In him, your salvation is secure. And yet right now, there's still a lot of mess that needs to be taken care of. And yet, in Christ, this is what he has accomplished by one offering. It's the offering of himself. So he has given himself to make you perfect. And he's done it, even though you're not yet perfect. And none of us are. But we're in a process, and yet he will carry you through that process. That's what he's saying. And God is doing that and wanted that to happen so much that Jesus poured out his lifeblood in order to secure it. So I invite every one of you to wholeheartedly go after the Lord during these days. Seek him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love him with all that is within you. Do as Steve said, hold on to him with everything, both hands. I would say both hands. Let go of everything else and cling to the Lord. Not the Bible, but to Christ by faith. In a way that will manifest faith, because as you put your trust in him, he will open your doors. Matt and Andrew, you said, I know part of the step is biology. And I don't know what is beyond. He'll show you. I have no doubt he will show you. God will direct every step of your lives. And that's the truth for all of us. He will take us to places we never thought we could be. And yet Jesus has gone before us. So he has, by his own offering, laid down his life, shed his blood in order to perfect those who trust in him. I pray every one of you in this room are doing that, not just these graduates in front of me. But are you trusting in the blood of Christ? Is that your wholehearted confidence this morning? Are you giving yourself to Christ who has given himself for you? So let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for these 8 seniors sitting on this front row. And I do pray that you would direct their lives. I know that as they have each stood up here testifying that they trust in you and that they love you, I know that you will continually reveal yourself more and more to them if they seek you. And I pray that you would give each of them a heart to seek you and to follow you. Lord, I pray that for every person in this room. And Jesus, you said if we would come to you by faith, that you would never cast us out. And Lord, the way that we do that is simply through prayer. We simply, in our hearts, cry out to you and say, Jesus, would you direct my steps? Would you guide the days of my life in such a way that I will end up with you in eternity? And so, Lord, we pray that for those who don't yet know you. I also just pray that for these graduates, that they would seek you and your direction for their lives. And may each of us here this morning seek you. We're going to go to work tomorrow morning. God, let every one of us in this room, before we start our day, simply say, Jesus, will you direct my steps today? You give us the grace of a new day, and I pray that we would then receive the benefit of knowing that it's you who are guiding us through the work day tomorrow. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, and Jesus, thank you for being that single sacrifice that is sufficient both to sanctify us and to save us. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, amen.